This is Jaguars Postgame, presented by Baptist Health System, GEICO, Rouse Chiropractic Clinic, and by EverBank. Stand by for highlights and the best analysis of today's Jaguars game. We go back to the broadcast booth. Here's Brian Sexton.
All right, welcome back. The Jaguars 30-28 winners today in Cleveland. Three consecutive road wins for them in the second half of the season, and back-to-back wins for the first time since 2010. And boy, does it feel like it's been a long time for this football team. Let's take a look at our Comcast Business Final Fast Stats Check. Brian Sexton with Tony Boselli in the broadcast booth. Jeff Loggeman will have the first word with head coach Gus Bradley. For the Jaguars, 314 yards of total offense, 202 from the passing game, 112 on the ground. Chad Henne was 22 of 40 for 195 yards, two touchdowns, and an interception. His passer rating, 74.5. He wasn't the only quarterback, though, today. Maurice Jones-Drew had an 8-yard touchdown to Mercedes Lewis, and he will probably be beating his chest about 139.6 passer rating. The leading receiver in terms of both catches and yards for the second straight week, Ace Sanders, 8 for 67, had a 25-yarder. Cecil Short, 6 for 64 in the game winner. Mercedes Lewis, 3 for 26, and his first touchdown of the season. Clay Harbor, 2 for 23, and his second touchdown of the season. Jaguars ran for more than 100 yards for the second straight week after opening the season with 10 straight weeks without even coming close to that. Maurice Jones-Drew, 23 carries, 77 yards, averaged 3.3 per carry, had an 18-yard run. Jordan Todman had 5 for 31 with a 13-yard run. Ace Sanders had one early on for 4 yards. The Cleveland Browns had 439 yards of offense today. 342 from the passing attack, 97 on the ground. Brandon Whedon, 24 of 40 for 370 yards, 3 touchdowns, 2 interceptions in back-to-back throws in the second quarter. His passer rating, 94.8. The reason why this was a game, Josh Gordon, 10 for 261 yards, averaged 26.1 per catch, had 2 touchdowns, including a 95-yarder here in the fourth quarter that gave the Browns the lead, 28-25. No one else's numbers are even worth mentioning at that point.
Brian, he put those numbers up within 3 quarters of play. Remember, he was in the locker room for the whole third quarter.
Yeah, the guy is just, he's an animal, Willis McGahee had 14 carries for 57 yards. The Browns, 30 for 97 total. And when you look at it, the Jaguars also managed 3 sacks of Brandon Whedon today to get their total to the season 420. So overall, you know, we talk about numbers all you want. The number that matters the most is the Jaguars had 32 points on the scoreboard to just 28 for the Browns.
Listen, it was a nice team effort. You know, defense obviously did not do great against Josh Gordon. Take him out, they did pretty well. And they hung in there. They got turnovers again. They got sacks. They caused 2 fumbles of Brandon Whedon. They got 2 interceptions. They got this safety. It was a bad snap, but still a safety the defense created, partly because the special teams backing them up.
And then grabbed a field goal off of that.
And grabbed the field goal. Offensively started out nicely, did some nice things. Great play calling in that first half by Jed Fish. Really creative, getting Ace Sanders in the ball game. Listen, they stalled out. This is an offense that we have yet to see play consistently for 4 quarters. It just is what it is right now. They have their moments where they struggle. They don't get much going. They get out too many 3 and outs. But when it counted in the fourth quarter, when they had to score, when they had to make something happen, they came through in a big way. Listen, 32 points for this Jaguar team. That's a lot of points.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, well, for a team that's been averaging just about 12 points, almost 13 points a game. Here's a reason why. The Jaguars, for the second straight week, had 7 third down conversions. On the season, they averaged right at 29%. Today, 7 of 16, so right at 50%.
Yeah, just under 50%, which is a nice job. And, you know, and everyone who's been listening to us, you know, on the game broadcast or on the shows on Monday and Thursday night knows what we've been preaching and standing by what Gus Bradley says, because we believe in it. And, you know, this team is going to get better. We've said it all along. You had to be patient, and you also had to be realistic of what the expectations with this young of a roster being completely revamped. Yes, is the second half of this season and the opponents easier than the first half? Sure. But it's also a group of guys that are playing better. Look at the young secondary. I know they gave up a bunch to Josh Gordon, but he does that to a lot of people.
Well, he did it to the Steelers last week.
I mean, he's an outstanding player. But John Cyprian, how many times we call his name today? Big time
Big tackles.
Grotz got an interception. Allen Ball continues to play good football. Josh Evans was hurt, so you wait to see what his injury update will be. We'll hear from Gus Bradley about that with the shoulder. But the young players, A. Sanders. I mean, these are guys that are young players. Jordan Todman, guys that you are starting to see get better. You know, the offensive line, how about the protection today? They did a very nice job. Austin Pasdor, Will Rackley continue to play good football. And so, listen, the arrow's up right now, and they're playing well, and they're improving. Is there a long way to go? Absolutely. But listen, winning feels good. 3 out of 4 they've won since the bye week. 3 in a row on the road. Now it would be nice to go get one of those wins at home.
Yeah, and with the Houston Texans coming in on a short week, what's the final? Did you see that? Did they lose today? I think they lost
34-31,
believe. To the New England Patriots. So we'll see what they've got in the tank. And, you know, it's very difficult to beat a team twice in a season as it is, but twice within 11 days. But the Jags right now, Tony, you know, I said it during the broadcast, and I'll say it again. Gus Bradley and his coaching staff are getting as much out of the talent on this roster as the talent has to give. And that speaks volumes for his ability as a head coach. Very impressed with what they've done so far.
And his staff. Let's give his staff credit.
Exactly.
Yeah. Head coach, staff. I mean, all of them are doing an outstanding job, and that's what good coaches do. They get the most out of the talents. Listen, I say it all the time. It's not about the X's and O's. It's about the Jimmies and the Joes. Listen, you have to have good Jimmies and Joes, but then you have coaches. What good coaching does gets the most out of what that group's ability is. And right now, they are starting to see that. They're starting to see improvement. And listen, I'm a broken record when I say this. I've talked to multiple people. I've said it today on the field before the game, talking to some of the people in the Cleveland Browns organization. Ask me about Gus Bradley. I said, let me tell you the greatest testimony about Gus Bradley. An 0-8 football team that had lost every game by double digits, who still played hard, who still showed up to practice, worked hard, were buying in, were playing hard for their coach. That's a good head coach if you can accomplish that.
All right, our broadcast here in the post game is brought to you by Crown Royal Maple. Whiskey started, maple finished. The Jaguars with their third win in 4 weeks and back-to-back wins for the first time since 2010. Again, play Thursday night against the Houston Texans at Everbank Field. It's a big party, folks. You're going to be there, hopefully, to see the Jaguars at home on Thursday night football, primetime, national audience, all the details you'll find at Jaguars.com. We're waiting on head coach Gus Bradley and Jeff Loggeman in the Jaguars locker room. There we will have an injury report presented by Baptist Health System, changing health care for good. And obviously the one that we're most concerned about is Josh Evans, the young safety, with his shoulder. He left the ball game, didn't return. Winston Guy is a person. I was going to say as a guy, but that would just seem a little bit over the top.
He is also a person, though.
Yeah, he's a person. He's a person.
He's a human being.
He's a guy.
He has
he's
blood.
He's a dude. He's a player.
He
however you want to say it.
He has
right.
blood running through his veins.
He's a living, human, breathing person.
He is not a cyborg.
Let me say it again. Winston Guy is a guy who has been playing about 20 snaps a game, and all of a sudden now, you know, he made the mistake, not to pin it on him, although we're going to, on the play that turned into a 95-yard touchdown by Josh Gordon. He was a little too aggressive with that. Josh Evans may have made it, may not have made it, but they've been platooning back there all of a sudden.
But I'll say this about that.
Okay.
If you're Gus Bradley.
You'll say that about this or this about that?
Both of that.
All right.
You're okay with it's a learning experience, but you're not going to get on Winston Guy for that play because he was playing aggressive. He's trying to make something happen. He's going full speed trying to make a play. Now, it's a teaching moment. Say, listen, let's look at the situation, who we're playing against and everything else. If you're going to do that, you have to make sure you're going to make the play. But I'm okay with that because guess what? If he makes an interception, takes it to the house, what are we saying? Great play. That's how to play aggressive. And we get – it's such a fine line from between
Agreed.
Success and failure in this league when you're playing at a high level and you're playing fast against great players. I'm okay with what Winston Guy did. What I would like to see, though, is Dwayne Grotz and Jonathan Cyprian coming up and make a tackle. And so it's only a 30, 40-yard gain instead of 95.
Dwayne Grotz left the ball game with what appeared to be a contact lens issue. He returned. Will Rackley left with what appeared to be an arm issue. He returned. So, again, that Baptist Health injury update from Coach Gus Bradley will probably focus almost exclusively on Josh Evans, unless there was something that we missed, but we didn't call a whole lot of it. We'll also have a Bueller Swiss Watch MVP and a Bud Light play of the game. You got a leader in the clubhouse for the Bueller Swiss Watch MVP?
Boy, I'm going to go with Jonathan Sipp.
I was just about to say the same thing.
I thought Sipp played an outstanding ball game, had the interception. We called his name countless times on tackles. He was in the backfield. He's all over the place. He's been playing great football since, you know, he's getting better each week. I go Cyprian.
All right, let's check in with Jeff Lagerman, who has head coach Gus Bradley.
Jeff. All right, thank you, Brian. Gus, congratulations. Your team, kind of in a back-and-forth game, made a lot of big plays throughout this game to get the win.
Yeah, you know what? It was an exciting game, I'm sure, for the fans. But, you know, I just felt like we gave up some big plays, too, and we weren't quite on. But really, to credit our team, they just kept battling the whole way through. They kept their poise from start to finish. They battled throughout and ended up in our favor.
Defensively, to end the first half, holy cow, I'm sitting here looking at Cyprian has a pick, Grotz has a pick, Babin has a strip sack, calls fumble, which it was kind of comical to actually see Sendarik make the recovery trip over his own feet. But, I mean, those sequence of plays gave you the lead again.
Well, you know, we always tell our guys they come in bunches, and that's what happens. And you just got to keep believing, stay true to the techniques, and they'll come. I just give our guys a lot of credit. They played extremely hard the whole day.
Offensively, Jed Fish looked like he may have had his most creative game plan yet. Different ways of getting A. Sanders the ball, different ways of getting Clay Harbor the ball. It was fun to watch.
Well, you know what we talked about? We have to learn our team, and we have to learn their strengths, and sometimes that takes time. And, you know, when you get some consistency out there where you know where guys are going to be positioned, you can do more things. And give Jed and the offensive staff a lot of credit for doing that.
This is kind of becoming a habit. Three out of the last four.
Well, it's never a habit. That's what I told him. What, you know what? We learned a lot today. We learned a lot. As we say, Murphy, he came in bunches, too, and really put the challenge to us. But, you know, we'll learn from our mistakes, and we got to get ready in a quick turnaround.
Josh Evans, I know, left the game, did not return. Any other injuries that you know of?
That's the only one that I've heard thus far. I will take a look. We're going to have a good week of prep. You know, we'll be smart with our guys because of a quick turnaround.
All right, thank you, Gus.
Okay, thank you.
All right, that's head coach Gus Bradley. When we come back to First Energy Stadium in Cleveland, more of our Jaguars postgame show, including the Buehler Swiss Watch MVP and the Bud Light Play of the Game. We're back after this on Jaguars Radio. All right, welcome back to Cleveland Brown Stadium, now called First Energy Stadium. Jaguars win it 32-28. And the Jaguars really turned things around at the end of the second quarter with interception, and a fumble on a sack and a strip. And one of the picks came from the hands of Dwayne Grotz, who joins Jeff Lagerman in the locker room right now.
All right, thank you, Brian. Certainly one heck of a challenge for you guys today. And Dwayne Grotz, talking to Dwayne Grotz. Josh Gordon, a great wide receiver. He had a big day, but you guys were able to overcome that with some big plays of yourself.
Yeah, he did a good job. We got some things we got to correct too, but yeah, it was a dogfight today. You know, we made plays, they made plays, and we came out with the win today. So, I mean, that's all that matters right now. But we, as I said, we got some things that we gotta fix.
Take us back to that play in which you got your second career interception. What did you see?
I noticed what they were trying to do when they went slot, and they just sat him down. So I just read it, seen that he pulled up the ball, and I just made a play.
Three out of the last four are W's now for this football team. Kind of feels like a habit now.
It does. You know, now we're all on the same page, and we're just working hard. You know, we've been working hard consistently each week, and, you know, it's finally starting to pay off.
Young secondary with you and Winston Guy, Josh Evans, Jonathan Cyprian, Alan Ball kind of the leader. What's it been like in that room, the progression that you guys have gone through?
It's been amazing just to see how far we done came. I think, you know, beginning of the season, we probably were the group that people thought we were going to have the most problems with. But I think we done showed up and played well recently. And if we can just stay on the same page and keep doing well, then I think as a defense and as a team, we'll be in a good position.
All right. Thank you, Dwayne.
Thank you.
All right. Dwayne Grotz, two interceptions on the season, both in the last 4 weeks. He had one at Tennessee in the win there and one, obviously, today in the win here. Part of a young secondary that, although they gave up some big plays to Josh Gordon, didn't take it away. Now, Cecil Shorts, who had a couple of key drops, but didn't drop the biggest throw towards him of the day, caught the game winner in the end zone, joins Jeff right now.
All right, thank you, Brian. All right, Cecil, I'm going to be real with you. Third and 13 there at the beginning of the second half, you had a drop. Had another ball, a couple balls that were catchable. How good did it feel to have an opportunity at the end of the game to catch a game winner?
Felt good. It was a rough day. I should have, you know, I was a little frustrated with that 3rd and 13 play. You know, that kind of bugged me. But, you know, Will Blackman, Chad Henne, Ace Sanders. A number of guys came to me like, yo, we're coming back to you. Just be ready. We come back to you. We believe in you. And, you know, that last drive, it's a good feeling, man.
Hey, that last play now, a very similar route against Joe Hayden in which you ran last week against the Houston Texans. Tell people about that play and that particular play design.
Basically, we call it Seattle O, our 2x2, and we're just faking a slant route. And then last week, we ran a lot of slants, a lot of unders, a lot of in-cut routes, and we knew Joe Hayden likes to bite on those. Chad threw a hell of a ball, and, like, I mean, Coach made a great call because he bit like a mug. And Chad threw that ball there, and the rest is, you know, made the play. So it was definitely a good feeling, good play call. That was a great last drive by the offense.
What's it like in this locker room now compared to 4.5 weeks ago?
Huge difference, huge difference. Team is playing with confidence. We came out today expecting to win, you know what I mean, not hoping. And I think that's the biggest thing from now, between after the bye week and before the bye week. We're 3-1 since the bye week, and we're looking to keep this momentum going to Thursday night.
All right, thank you, Cecil.
Thank you.
All right, well, since he was just there, let's go ahead and roll our Bud Light play of the game. It's obvious the game winner to Cecil Shorts. One back is Maurice. Three receivers. And Henny takes the snap. They're rushing four. Steps, turns and launches one. He's got Cecil! Touchdown, Jacksonville! And Cecil Shorts pulls it in. Second touchdown of the year. Gives the Jaguars a 32-28 advantage. And they come away with the win. Our Bud Light play of the game brought to you by Bud Light. The sure sign of a good time. Here we go. How about naming a Buehler Swiss Watch MVP? Logs and I talked about this during the last break while you were out.
In agreement? Are we all in agreement here?
It's Jonathan Cyprian.
Jonathan Cyprian, yeah. Absolutely. No, without a doubt. He played an outstanding ball game. We said it earlier. He's an up-and-coming guy. I mean, you remember in the OTAs when we were talking about how different he looked and special he looked, and then he got injured and it was a slow start through preseason, and boy, he just is getting better and better, and get the feeling. He could be one of those special players for a long time. Now, he's got to keep on improving, got to keep on working, but he has that type of attitude.
I was going to say, if you know that kid at all, that's his.
That's his M.O., and he has that kind of ability. I mean, you get the sense that you're going to wake up, you know, 8-10 years down the road, and he's going to be one of those guys that you look back that made, you know, was an impact player.
Well, you, Jeff, talked about it. You were talking about how much better he'll be when the front seven has more players up front, more impact players lets him really do what he does
best.
Well,
not only that, I mean, all of a sudden you get more pressure and the guys are throwing balls up there and he's the ball hawk. He's going to go get it.
It
was a great day. And it was interesting listening to Cecil. You could tell that he was frustrated.
He didn't like the question.
Well, I think he was okay with it. I think it really bothered him because he wants to be the guy. And he said it, and I like it. And he knows the guy has to make those catches, and he didn't. And the play call of Jed Fish. Jed Fish told me before the game. I said, what are you going to do? I talked about Joe Hayden. He said, Joe Hayden likes to peek his nose, and we're going to have a play for him. And they
and
dialed
they
up
it.
At the end.
And it was the game winner.
What a great play.
Absolutely. So our Buehler Swiss Watch MVP is Jonathan Cyprian. 9 tackles, pass defense to interception. Those tackles, though, just the numbers don't tell the story of the way that he attacked the line of scrimmage and played the run so strong today. And Jeff will hand him a Buehler Swiss Watch, the official watch of the Jaguars. You can grab yours at Allen's Jewelers in Jacksonville, Park Jewelers in Lake Mary, Tallahassee Diamond Center in Tallahassee, Cranford Jewelry in Moultrie, Georgia, and Hope Jewelers in Jacksonville. Before we sign it off from here and hand it back to JP and Marco and Jay Gray and Lyndon Ed, the whole crew back there, any final thoughts?
Hey.
On back-to-back wins on 3 of 4.
You know me, and we'll argue about it this week. It's good to win, baby.
I'm not arguing with it.
I like winning. I know some people don't. I like winning.
All right, well, I get the last word now. Turn his microphone off. Everyone likes to win. For a young football team, there's some importance to winning. The question is, and we debated on there, is how important is it for this team to win as opposed to be in a position to draft? But we'll save that for another time. For now, the Jaguars win 3 of 4 back-to-back on the road, and they'll come home in good shape. You are such a troublemaker.
Hey,
you know that?
We'll discuss it tomorrow night.
You bet we will, although we weren't going to. I thought we'd put this one to bed.
I'll tell you what, though. All seriousness, it's just good to win.
Yeah,
it's
there's
good
no
for
argument
the organization. It's going in the right direction. His team's playing
hard. But since
hard.
Pete Prisco isn't here, I can say it for him. Is it sustainable?
Or
do you drive yourself away? I mean, you brought it up, not me. Do you drive yourself away from the impact players that you need with winning late against bad teams?
I was talking to somebody before the game. It was actually Jimmy Haslam, the owner of the Cleveland Browns,
right.
Having the same conversation. And
well, because it's a philosophical issue in the NFL.
You know what he said?
What?
He says, you worry about those things later. winning is always good.
All right, so you get the last word, Mr. Buscelli. All right, so on behalf of Brent Martineau, who worked the sidelines on a brisk day today, we certainly appreciate that, and John Dineen from Atlantic Beach here to help produce and spot and do all the important things that we need done around here. For Scott Kushner, our engineer, I say thanks to Joe Fortunato for wearing this beautiful burgundy pea coat, the only one of its kind in existence. Cranberry Fields, I think, is a really popular Beatles song, and that's obviously how it was inspired. We're signing off from Cleveland. A big show still to come, folks. Go nowhere. You're listening to Jaguars Football on the Jaguars Radio Network. Good night, everybody.
Jaguars postgame rolls along. It's a happy final today as the Jaguars come away with a big win over the Cleveland Browns, 32-28. J.P. Shadrick with Marco Coleman. Well, this game had everything except a missed field goal for a touchdown. Returned for a touchdown. That's the only thing it missed.
Well, you figure when you get two young teams, two programs that are pretty much in the same type of position where they are, is where they're moving to. You got the second youngest team versus the fifth youngest team. You had a lot of penalties on the Browns side, a lot of miscues. But all in all, it ended up being a pretty good game. You know, that's something that sometimes is what you get. Sometimes it's ugly, but it looks a little pretty.
No doubt about it. And it started really at the end of the first half with those three turnovers inside of 2:40 left to play in the second quarter, and the Jags scored off of all of those turnovers. Whedon being Whedon, the Jaguars scored 13 points in the final about minute and a half of the first half. Really turned this game around because it was 14 to 7 at that point before those 13 points.
I say the biggest thing is taking advantage of those turnovers. You saw earlier during the season, balls hitting Cyprian's hands and he's dropping them. Guys were in the right place at the right time, creating those turnovers and taking advantage of them. You know, I think the only thing though, turn those things into touchdowns. You know, you got those turnovers, and a couple times they end up being field goals as opposed to touchdowns. The really good teams, you're going to have to score touchdowns. That would be the only issue I had with that, but great all in all between the offense and the defense.
Yeah, and then of course the final plays of the game, or the fourth quarter of this game was just so back and forth. The snap over the head of Whedon for the safety. Jags get a field goal off that, so they're up 25-21. Whedon hits a 95-yarder to Gordon, a missed tackle, puts them back on top, 28-25, and then a 9-play, 80-yard drive. Henny was 5 of 7 on the final drive for 66 yards passing and the game-winning touchdown.
You figure they saved the best for last. Now, I like Guy. I mean, Guy is just that heavy hitter in that secondary that I think the team actually has been missing, at least in the passing game. Cyprian's done a really good job coming up versus the run. A guy that's a big penalty that he got, but at the same time, you'd rather turn a guy down on the aggressiveness as opposed to having him turn it up. So you got to live with that. You know, so big play, especially on a big guy like Gordon.
It's time now for the Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast Questions of the Game, Marco. Hey, number one, what was the biggest key to today's win? A lot of key, you know, a lot of things happened to make this happen, but what was the biggest one?
To me, I think it's the offensive line. Yeah, the offensive line did a heck of a job giving Henny time. He got sacked twice, but guess what? They were his fault. One time he slides behind the line of scrimmage. Another time he just can't evade a rush, which we know he has some problems in the pocket. And, of course, you know, the turnovers, they were huge, giving the offense a lot of opportunities to get some scores. But that offensive line, man, they were phenomenal today.
Number two, Jags scored 32 points today, by far the season high and well above their season average. What worked in getting these points today?
The defense. The defense was the reason. You figure they accounted for 2 points, then those turnovers putting the offense in great field position, which led to 16 points in itself. You know, so you figure defensively, you can almost say they accounted for 19 points of the 32. So I had to say that defense were an intricate part in allowing that offense to be so successful.
Finally, number three, this team was 0-8 at the bye, Marco. They're now 3-1 since then. Can you consider this team hot?
You know, I wouldn't say league-wise real hot, but for where this organization is right now, I would say yes, they are hot. You know, you figure coming out of the bye, 3 out of 4 games they've won, and they've all been on the road. That says a lot about a young team and a young coach and the direction they're going. You got to go ahead and put some sizzle to the Jaguars right now.
Oh, they're hot, he says. Final score, 32-28. Those were the Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast questions and answers of the game. When we come back, strap in and hang on. The highlights from this one, a win in Cleveland. Back and forth ball game down to the end, 32-28. The Metro PCS Sexton summary is after this on Jaguars Radio.
This portion of Jaguars postgame is brought to you by Brooks Rehabilitation, UL Knowledge Services, Eiselborn Chiropractic and Sports Medicine, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. Jaguars postgame continues right now.
Happy final today in Cleveland. The Jaguars have now won 3 out of 4 since the bye week. 32-28 the final score. Back and forth game today at First Energy Stadium. Jags are 3-9. They've won back-to-back games for the first time since 2010. They're now 10-5 all-time against Cleveland, 6-2 at Cleveland, and, of course, 3-1 since the bye week. They've now won 3 straight road games for the first time since the 2007 season and won back-to-back road games in consecutive weeks for the first time since 05. So a lot of numbers falling today. Let's take a listen. Strap in and hang on. It's the Metro PCS Sexton Summary. In a back-and-forth ball game on the banks of Lake Erie, it started on the first drive for Cleveland today. It was a lengthy punt return. Whedon to Gordon for 42 yards, set up a McGahee set, 1 yard touchdown run, 7-0 Cleveland.
Three tight ends, second and goal from the one. The handoff to McGahee, and he is in for the touchdown.
7-0, the Jags would drive 8 plays, 80 yards. And Harbor with an 18-yard touchdown reception capped that off. 7-7 score at the end of one. And then the, Gordon's day just kept going and going and going. This time in the second quarter, Whedon hits Gordon for a 21-yard touchdown, 14-7 Browns.
Two other receivers out there, now an empty backfield as Obanaya goes in motion. Whedon has trouble with the snap, now turns and launches this ball for Gordon, and it is caught. Josh Gordon, touchdown.
That's what I was afraid of. They had a single high safety, which means that it was going to be one-on-one for Josh Gordon against Will Blackman.
Yeah, 14-7. That capped off an 11-play, 92-yard drive. Next drive, Henny intercepted by Hayden. It was a sudden change in Jags territory, but the Jaguars defense goes 3-and-out, gets Cleveland off the field. Jaguars go 11 plays. Next drive, have to punt. Not much the next couple of drives for either side. But then, Jonathan Cyprian comes through with a big interception with 2:35 to go to begin really the ending of a wild first half.
Whedon under center, brings his tight end Barnridge in motion to the left side, takes the snap, play action, back to throw, under a bit of pressure, turns and throws this one, and it's intercepted! Cyprian's got his first, he's going back the other way at the 30, gets a block at the 20, and is still looking for room near the 15, and he's met and driven out of bounds there. Jonathan Cyprian with a game-changing play.
No doubt about that. 2:35 to go when he picked it off, took it back 27 yards and set up Maurice Jones-Drew on a pitch to the right. But it's his first career touchdown pass to his college teammate Mercedes Lewis.
A third down and a yard for the Jaguars. Here's the toss sweep. There goes Maurice. He's going to get the first. No, you throw it! Mercedes catches it! Touchdown! Maurice Jones-Drew just threw it at the last second, and Mercedes Lewis pulls it in for his first touchdown of the year.
That tied the game 14-all for Jones-Drew, his second career passing attempt. His first was intercepted back in 2010 against the Cleveland Browns. Today, he has a touchdown pass against Cleveland. That tied the game. Then, on the next drive, Dwayne Grotz intercepts Whedon, sets up a Scobie 44-yard field goal, 17-14. Boo Bird's out again in Cleveland, of course. But then, with just seconds remaining in the first half, the Browns have the ball again. They decide to try to move the ball down the field. Whedon back in the pocket. He drops the ball onto the turf. It's a forced fumble by Babbitt.
It's Brandon Whedon. Have you mentioned that yet?
Yeah, I think a couple times. Go ahead and say it again,
though. Four receivers for Brandon Whedon as the pressure's coming, and he's going to get hit. And the ball's on the field, and it's recovered by the Jaguars. It's picked up. Cedric Marks is going back. He stumbles and falls at the 18.
He tripped over his own feet. Otherwise, he would have had an opportunity to score.
Incredible turn of events there. Three consecutive turnovers with 2:35 to play. The Jags get a 51-yarder from Scobie at the end of the half. 20-14, a 13-point swing there for the Jaguars to get things the right way, 2014. So the start of the second half now. Browns get the ball coming out of the halftime locker room. They go 10 plays, 60 yards, and they cap it off. Whedon a little, a 4-yard touchdown.
Whedon second and goal from inside the 5-yard line. Play action back to throw. Steps, turns, and throws. And this one is caught. Greg Little held on. Touchdown, Cleveland.
Made it 21-20. Browns at that point. That would be the score at the end of three. Tell you what, it gets really crazy here in the fourth. Hang on. A bad snap safety. First play of a drive. It's a one-point lead at this point. Kind of had missed a 53-yarder in the third quarter, by the way. But It was 21-20 Cleveland. First play of a drive goes over the head of Whedon.
Whedon to the shotgun with one back at his own 14-yard line. And the ball's high. It's over his head. It's in the ball. It's in the back of the end zone. And it was kicked out. So is that a safety?
It's a safety and a penalty.
Yeah, they gave it a safety. 22-21. Jags take the lead. They would get the ball. A nice return on the free kick. And then Scobie with a 25-yard field goal. The Jaguars led 25-21. It was far from over, though. Next play, actually on the kickoff return, a penalty put the Browns back in their own 5-yard line. First play, Whedon to Gordon. Guy misses a tackle. It goes 95 yards for a score.
Partridge, the tight end, slides in motion. Whedon back to throw. Looks in the direction of Gordon, and this one is caught. And Gordon's on the run. He's at the 30. He's at the 40. He's at the 50. They won't catch it. He's going all the way. 95 yards for a touchdown.
Unbelievable. And it was a mistake. Winston Guy, the safety, goes for the ball, jumps in front of Josh Gordon. And once he does that, there's nobody behind Winston Guy. You got to go play the man unless you make the play.
28-25 at that point. The Jaguars on the ensuing drive. Henny had to get things going. He ends up 5 of 7 on the final drive. He drives the Jags 9 plays, 80 yards, caps it off to the Cleveland native Cecil Shorts the third, who makes up for a couple of drops earlier in the game.
One back is Maurice. 3 receivers. And Henny takes the snap. They're rushing 4 steps, turns and launches one. He's got Cecil! Touchdown, Jacksonville! Touchdown, Jaguars!
Did he get his feet in, though? It's going to be very close. They signaled a touchdown. They were his feet inbounds with possession.
Yes, they were. After review, it was a touchdown. He had control of the ball. 9-play, 80-yard drive, and 3:15. This is the end of the game. The Browns would get close to midfield. Final play. A heave from Whedon towards the end zone.
6 seconds left. Whedon takes the shotgun snap. Jags are rushing 3. Whedon trying to step in a void. Plants turns and throws this one, and it is going to be broken up. Chris Brzezinski knocked it down. That's the game. The Jaguars win it in Cleveland, 32-28. Back-to-back wins for the first time in 3 years. 3 consecutive road wins for the first time since 2008. And it's a big win for the Jaguars.
32-28, that's how it sounded today. The Jaguars are now 3-1 since the bye. And a 3-9 record overall, big win. 32-28 in Cleveland. That's the Metro PCS Sexton Summary. With no signed contracts, Metro PCS lets you unlimit yourself. When we come back, Marco Coleman back with us. We'll break down this one some more. Big back-and-forth win today for the Jags in Cleveland. More Jaguars postgame after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. Back inside the HannahNiaAutos.com studio at Everbank Field, Jaguars postgame rolls on. It's a winner today. Jaguars 32, Browns 28. Wild back-and-forth ball game at First Energy Stadium in Cleveland. J.P. Shadrick with Marco Coleman here in Jacksonville. Oh, my goodness. Take a big breath on this one.
But that's what you got to love, though, when you're rooting for your team, to see them come out, play a tight game, and come out on top. That, you know, unfortunately, my Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets didn't get it done last night, yesterday.
The Jaguars did today. They're 3-9 overall, 3-1 since the bye week. They've won 3 straight on the road for the first time since 07, and they answer the bell again today, certainly at the end of the first half with the 3 turnovers by Cleveland inside 2:30 to go. They scored on all 3 of those, and then, of course, the fourth quarter, back and forth, the safety, back and forth plays, and the final drive for Henny. He was 5 of 7, 66 yards, and the touchdown to Shorts, who overcame a couple of drops earlier in the game for the game winner in his hometown. Let's start now, Marco, with the let's go with an offensive player of the game. Who do you like today?
Offensively, we have to talk about Mr. Ace Sanders and how he had a huge impact today. You figure 8.4 per catch, didn't score anything, but he was intricate in the team able to move the ball down the field. So I would have to say Ace Sanders. The little guy came up big today.
Got him out in space, 8 catches, 67 yards, targeted 11 times in this game. You can go a number of ways defensively today, but if you have to pick one guy as the defensive player of the game, who do you pick?
Yeah, you got to talk about Mr. Cyprian. The young guy was active in all aspects of the game, got the interception, but also in the run. I mean, he came up big, tackle for loss. He was huge all over the field. You know, got a sack also, came in on a blitz and got a sack. So his play today was definitely notable in the way that the defense was able to maintain anything that the Cleveland Browns offense was able to do.
Yeah, Cyprian with 9 tackles, at second most on the team today. The interception, of course, pass defense, and a special teams tackle he was credited with
all
as
over.
Well.
This is, you know, the man today.
All over the place all today. The, place. The rookie. The Jaguars had, what, 3 turnovers, 3 takeaways in this game, a couple of picks, and the fumble from Whedon as well. And the, if you count the safety that goes out the back of the end zone, that's another good day. You win that battle.
Yeah, you know, the turnovers were huge. And also other negative plays. You had 5 tackles for loss. Those are the things that good defenses have to do in order to give their offense a chance to be successful. It's tough to go the distance and drive down the field where the Jags didn't have to do that today because of those outstanding plays the defense made. Giving the offense the short field, you know, worst case scenario, which was the case today, a bunch of field goals. So, and now the offense, they just have to turn those into touchdowns.
We'll take a timeout on Jaguars postgame. We'll come back and get into the statistics from today's game. A lot to go through in this one. A 32-28 win for the Jags over the Browns. More Jaguars postgame after this on Jaguars Radio. This portion of Jaguars postgame presented by Geico. Putting a winning lineup together is tough. Getting a quote from Geico is not. Visit geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO or contact your local Geico office today. Final score in Cleveland, Jaguars 32, the Browns 32-28, the final score. The Jags get a win over the Browns. They've won 3 out of 4 since the bye, and the Jags are now 3-9 overall. Wild back-and-forth game today. And, Marco, let's get into the stats from this one. We'll start with the team stats today for the Jags compared to the Browns. Yardage in the game, 314 for the Jaguars. The Browns go for 439, of course, most of that through the air to Gordon today, who had a huge day for the Browns. The now, individually, you start on the ground. Maurice Jones drew 23 carries, 77 yards, Marco. You know, average of 3.3 per carry, long of 18, but another decent day for
him. It was
good.
It was physical running. You know, you figure the bulk of the big plays in the rushing game came from Todman, you know, and the creativity of getting him on the edge and being able to create big plays on the outside. So, you know, Maurice, I think for what they were trying to do, it was successful because a lot of times those were short yardage plays where he was converting first down. So, effective running by Maurice Jones-Drew.
Jordan Todman had 5 carries, 31 yards. They gave A. Sanders credit for 1 for 4 yards. Second straight game over 100 yards rushing, 112 yards for the Jaguars offense today. Now passing, Chad Henne's line is not pretty. It's 22 of 40, 195 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception, rating of 74.5, sacked twice. You know, one of those was the slide, like you said. Mm-hmm. But on the last drive, 5 of 7, 66 yards, touchdown. He was clutch when it counted. Fourth career game-winning drive in the fourth quarter or overtime.
You know, the big thing is the 3 touchdowns that he's thrown for. You know, the scoring offense, getting the guys on the board. But the thing that is the same as far as the offense in the passing game is how short these passes are. You figure 4.7, 4.9 per pass. That's way below what you'll see. That's dead last in the league. And, you know, that's staying within, I guess, what Henne will be able to do. And also it's helping the offensive line, not having to hold up a lot of blocks. So, you know, they don't have a real true down-the-field threat. So the only negative I would say is just these short passes. No big plays in offense.
You know who had a perfect day passing?
Who was that?
Maurice Jones-Drew.
Maurice MJD.
1 for 1, an 8-yard touchdown pass, his first touchdown pass in his career, a rating of 139.6. What a day for Maurice passing.
You figure the play calling was great. This is probably the best play calling that has been done all season long. The creativity, perfect example right there, MJD throwing the pass. But, you know, allowing the guys in their skill set to take over. A. Sanders getting them out in space. Todman getting them in the running game where he's out there on the perimeter. Those are the things I think that they did a really good job, Fish, you know, specifically, and being able to utilize the skill set of the guys that he had.
A. Sanders, 8 catches, 67 yards, and as you said, used him in space a lot. Cecil Shorts III didn't have a great day today. He was targeted 11 times, 6 receptions, 64 yards at the end, the 20-yard touchdown for the game winner. But he dropped some balls earlier, and that's been a trend a lot of this season for Cecil, and not something you would have expected coming out of camp.
Yeah, that's something, you know, exactly. He did a really good job during training camp catching the balls. But, you know, when he got out, you know, he was hurt and kind of had to sit out a couple of games. From that point on, he just wasn't the same guy. But, hey, he came up big, made the catch when it was really, really, when he really needed him at the end of the game. So, hey, a lot of trust with the teammates, coaching staff. He is a good wide receiver. Not that number one guy that he is. You need another guy out there. But he came up with the big play again when it was needed for the team.
And good for him. The reports are he stayed out later than all the other Jags, just soaking it all in, looking at his hometown crowd. He had a lot of family in the stands today and a big way to come through in the end. Other receptions today, Lewis 3 for 26, his third different three-reception game since the bye week. Harbor 2 for 23 and the touchdown early. Jones drew two receptions for 4 yards. He was targeted 8 times today. Todman 1 for 12. Brown 1 for 7 in the game. 203 receiving yards today for the Jags. And on the other side, boy, you got to give credit to Josh Gordon. As advertised, 10 receptions, 261 yards, and that 95-yard touchdown that put him ahead late.
No answer for Josh Gordon. No. And I was waiting for at some point the defense to do something schematically to try to rein him in. He accounted for all the big plays. You figure 95-yarder, 42-yarder. He had a couple of 20-yard plays. If you take those out of it, the defense completely shut those guys out of the game. So, you know, I don't know what it was that the defensive coordinator was actually looking to do. Want to just challenge the young guys to see how they would handle it. But it seemed like you want to go ahead and he demands, you know, that type of coverage and attention, and it wasn't given to him today.
Now, remember, he was off on the sideline back in the locker room, apparent head injury. He was hit towards the goal line by Guy on that penalty that the replay showed probably shouldn't have been a penalty. And he was out a lot of this third quarter. They didn't go to him when he was in. So if he's in that quarter, who knows what this total is.
I tell you, and they have to do some things schematically when you have these outstanding players. You know, if you look at all the leagues, even Hayden, he got some help. You know, you don't want to just leave guys, hang them out to dry because it affects the defense. Because you give so many opportunities to a guy like Gordon, he's going to make a big play. And you have, at times, you're going to have to give your defensive backs some help, your corner specifically.
That's a look at the statistics from today's game. This portion of Jaguars postgame presented by Gate. Nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today when we come back. A look around the National Football League in Week 13. A lot of tight ones today. We'll recap everything in just a moment. Jaguars win 32-28 in Cleveland on Jaguars Radio. This portion of Jaguars postgame presented by Geico. Geico has proudly supported the military for over 75 years. See how much Geico's military discounts can save you. Go to geico.com, call 1-800-MILITARY, or contact your local Geico agent today. Final score in Cleveland, Jaguars a winner, 32-28. The Jags are now 3-9. They've won 3 out of 4 since the bye week. The Browns are now 4-8 and likely out of any contention for a wild card. They held out hope entering today. They'd really have to have a lot of help, but not looking so good. They played most of their division games already. Let's get into Week 13 in the National Football League. A lot of tight games today. We start in the AFC South where the Colts had to hold off the Titans in Indianapolis today. The Colts beat the Titans 22-14. And, of course, the Colts now have a real control over this division. They had it already, but they secure that today. It's an 8-4 record for Indy, 4-2 in their home stadium, and very good in the division, of course, 22-14 over the Titans. A final in overtime. This was just a couple of minutes away from being another tie final, but instead the Vikings kick a field goal in overtime. They beat the Bears 23-20. The Vikings are now 3-8-1. In that game, Adrian Peterson becomes the 28th player in league history to surpass 10,000 rushing yards. He was the third fastest in history to reach that mark.
He's a monster. It's
pretty awesome, isn't it? 211 yards on the ground today, 35 carries for AP.
It's all like, you know.
Not bad.
All day.
All day, AP. Dolphins win over the Jets in New York, 23-3. Eagles have 3 touchdown passes from Foles. They beat the Cardinals 24-21. The Panthers hammer the Buccaneers today, 27-6. Patriots score 27 second-half points. They come from behind and beat the Texans 34-31 in the thriller down at Reliant. The Texans dropped their 10th consecutive game. They're coming in here to Everbank Field on Thursday night. Those are the finals from today. Some active games in the league right now. The Bills lead the Falcons late in the second quarter, 17-14. The Niners over the Rams, 13-0, two-minute warning, first half. Midway through the second quarter, the Chiefs with a two-touchdown lead over the Broncos, 21-7 in their rematch. And the Chargers and Bengals tied 7-all halfway through the second. Tonight, 8:30, NBC Sunday Night Football. The Giants visit the Washington Redskins. That's a look around Week 13 in the National Football League. Final score in Cleveland, Jaguars 32, Browns 28. We'll come back and close it out in just a moment. Jaguars are 3-1 since the bye. And Marco says they're hot.
Sizzle.
We'll get a final thought from Marco after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. Final segment of Jaguars postgame presented by PRI Productions. A happy final in Cleveland this afternoon as the Jaguars beat the Browns 32-28. Jags are now 3-9, 3-1 since the bye. J.P. Shadrick with Marco Coleman for a final time. They weathered the storm today a few different times, a couple of sudden changes. The Jaguars take advantage of some turnovers, get scores late in the first half. They battle in the fourth quarter back and forth and get a true team win today.
I mean, you figure you see the maturation of a young team and a young coach. They've gotten better. This is a tough game on the road, the third one, and they've been able to win. Says a whole lot about the work ethic and what they've been putting into the season.
The Houston Texans come calling at Everbank Field Thursday night. It's an 8:25 kickoff Thursday, and they've just dropped their 10th consecutive game, Marco. But just played them, 12 days ago? It'll be 12 days ago by the time the game comes on Thursday. What do you expect this time around?
I expect another win. I think coming back home, what better team to have than a team like the Houston Texans that are still hurting? A lot of momentum for the Jags right now, a lot of confidence, primetime game. We'll get to see how this team actually now performs with a little bit of expectation now. You know, you get three wins on the road, I think now – it's not unreasonable to expect a real good performance when they come home on Thursday night.
He's calling it. I heard him call it.
Done deal.
Calling a dub.
Send the Texans back to Texas.
Marco Coleman says it. Marco, we'll see you on Thursday
yes,
night.
Yes, sir.
Let's pack this place out on Thursday as the Jags host the Houston Texans. An 8:25 kick. We'll go on air on the network at 7:25 with Jaguars pregame. Senior VP Communications for the Jags, Dan Edwards. Executive Producer of Jags Radio, Mike Dorward. Manager of Jags Radio, Joe Fortunato. Producers Tim B., Linda Fortunato, and Ed Rocco. Anchor of Jaguars pregame is Kevin Rafus, and Jay Gray is the Jaguars pregame reporter. For Marco Coleman, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Buscelli, Brian Sexton, and everyone involved, this is J.P. Shadrick saying good night. And once again, the final score from Cleveland. Jaguars 32, Browns 28 on the Jaguars Radio Network.